Ms. Krell?
Yes.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Before we begin, Mr. Ralph, you are here again, and good morning to you. Do either of you have any questions before we begin?
No.
Then Ms. Krell, you may proceed.
Your Honor, I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
You may.
Thank you. My name is Chelsea Krell, and I represent the defendant, Gabriel Maritella. I received this case on appeal. I was not trial counsel in this case. Today we're here because in this case, there was a rare circumstance that a state employee, a state lab tech, was subsequently, after Mr. Maritella's plea and sentence, was subsequently indicted for essentially stealing drugs from the state lab and selling them. So she was federally indicted for that, and that implicated really every case that she was involved in. In this particular case, she was directly in the chain of custody for the contraband that Mr. Maritella was accused of having.
Does our record show that she actually stole any drugs in this case?
The record does not show that. So the documents and the evidence that were presented to the district court in this case did not show that she had done anything wrong in regard to this particular case. However, the implication is that she may have, and that is why it is necessary to have a new trial in this case, because without a vehicle to compel that information, to compel discovery, depositions, compel that information, we don't know. So that is why it's necessary to have a new trial here. The defense is left with just this lingering question of, she was involved in the chain of custody, and later we found out she did these very egregious things. So that is why the defense is entitled to a new trial, is that this is manifest injustice. She was directly in the chain of custody, and the defense should be able to find out what the implications are. She was federally indicted, so it'd be the federal agents and the federal investigation that may have that information. But without open litigation, the defendant doesn't have a vehicle to compel that. They don't have a way to, say, subpoena documents or order depositions of any of the investigators. And it's possible that the state also has more information that they have not publicly disclosed to defense counsel at large. I believe in this case, it is telling that the state did not oppose the motions. I don't think there was a stipulation, but they did not oppose the defendant's motions. And they conceded that if the defendant's motions were granted, that a new trial was granted, or he was allowed, Mr. Maritella was allowed to withdraw his plea, that they would not be pursuing the case. And I believe that's telling. Again, in this case, Ms. Anna Adigma was directly in the chain of custody. So her testimony, her role in the case and the handling of evidence would be material to the introduction of evidence.
So what did the trial court judge say to all of these things?
The trial court judge said, I don't believe the trial counsel raised the point that a new trial was necessary in order to even find out, to dig further into what Ms. Adigma's wrongdoing in this case might have been. I don't think he raised that point. But the trial judge, the district court judge, essentially concluded that Ms. Adigma's, any evidence regarding Ms. Adigma would essentially be impeachment evidence. And therefore, a new trial wasn't warranted based on solely impeachment evidence. Yes, Judge?
Aren't you trying to ride at least two horses here? First, you've got a statutory, the new trial statute, and then you mentioned manifest injustice. That's a different concept, is that not? Or
it is. So we are trying to say that he's entitled to withdraw his plea based on manifest injustice. I believe there's.
So did the trial court judge say something about the new trial statute and about manifest injustice and about the materiality of your evidence? Did she say something about all three of those things?
Yes, in different parts of her order, she did. So I believe in her order, she concludes that, first of all, regarding materiality, that Ms. Adigma's conduct, any evidence regarding Ms. Adigma's conduct would be impeachment evidence only and not material. Our response to that is State v. Lauder says that credibility of a witness can be material. And in our case, we're saying it is material because she was directly in the chain of custody. She's not just some lay witness that has a misgiving about or memory. And then in regard to motion for new trial, I believe she cited State versus Gonzalez that said that I believe you have to show that the Post-Conviction Act never was applicable. However, we're asking the court to discuss this on its merits, that at this point, this is the best form for vindication for Mr. Muratella is to ask for withdrawal of his plea and motion for new trial. And I believe you had a third question, but I don't recall what the third issue was.
It seems to me the comments that you just responded to have something to do with manifest injustice or how we would get to that common law concept. Is that correct?
Yes. So the common law concept states that the court can provide a forum. So withdrawing the plea, manifest injustice, the court can provide a forum if there is no other forum for vindication. And this circumstance is so rare, and Ms. Adigama's conduct is so egregious that we would argue that withdrawing his plea is that forum for vindication.
But did not the judge say, well, you've got the Post-Conviction Act and you haven't shown why that is not available?
Correct. So, and then she did not go into that issue further. It's to deciding whether it was a manifest injustice is what
so
I recall.
Was the Post-Conviction Act available to you or was it not?
To trial counsel, I am not sure if the Post-Conviction Act was available or should have been utilized. If this court concludes that trial counsel should have utilized the Post-Conviction Act, we are asking for judicial expediency because this court has decided cases that may have been decided through the Post-Conviction Act. This court has used that discretion to address the cases on the merits. So we are asking that this court address those cases on the merits. If this court concludes that trial counsel should have filed under the Post-Conviction Act rather than pursue a motion for new trial, we're asking that this court find that trial counsel was ineffective. I was not trial counsel in this case.
When you're saying trial counsel, you're not actually talking about what you traditionally consider trial counsel, who is the person who handles the trial or the pleas here. You're talking about counsel that's actually after the direct appeal time would have ran.
No, I believe I'm talking about trial counsel because Mr. Muratella had an attorney when he entered into the plea and was sentenced originally. And then when this information regarding Ms. Anna Adigama came to light, that counsel filed motion for new trial and motion to withdraw plea.
So it's the same person.
It is the same person. It is the same attorney. I don't know if that would change any circumstances.
And you are not that person.
Correct. I am not. But since I am not trial counsel, I have to preserve any issues for Mr. Muratella. So that is why we're asking that if this court concludes that the Post-Conviction Act would have been more appropriate, that they find that the trial counsel was ineffective so that Mr. Adigama preserves that avenue.
Can you explain to me the applicability of a motion for a new trial in a situation such as this, where the trial right was waived by the entry of the plea?
I believe that certain cases do say that you can. I'm sorry, were you asking if motion for new trial or withdrawing of a plea?
Motion of new trial.
There are certain cases. So Daly, State versus Daly, and I referenced that in my brief, does cite to two cases where the court says the clock for this 10-day period of motion for new trial starts after a person enters a guilty plea. So it contemplates a situation in which a defendant has pled and then asks for a new trial. So it's not prohibited.
Is there not other case law that says that this statute is all about if you actually had a trial? And there was no trial in this particular case.
I believe the district court judge acknowledged that the case law In that for this question is mixed. So I believe that that's where we are, is that it's a mixed question. I don't think there's a definitive answer.
What do we do with the fact that the statute uses the word new? Doesn't new suggest this is a second trial and not the first?
I believe in the context of how an attorney would be setting themselves up for a trial or not, the issue of the first trial is, so you're setting yourself up for trial, you're pending litigation, you're pending discovery for that trial, and then you've decided not to have a trial. So the defendant has decided not to have a trial in that case. So this would be a motion for new trial, essentially reopening some of the proceedings. So I believe it's referencing reopening some of the issues or the...
Well, is there not at least one related? What your client did here was enter a plea of no contest, is that...
Correct. He did enter a plea in this case and was sentenced.
And is there not, related to this issue, case law that says once you enter a plea, either of guilty or no contest, that you waive all defenses that you might have? And did not the trial court judge cite that also?
When you enter a plea of guilty or no contest, you waive defenses. However, you are still entitled to appeal and contest the sufficiency of the factual basis. So that is still allowed. And in this case, we would be attacking the sufficiency of the factual basis, now knowing whether this plea was made knowingly and voluntarily, now knowing of the misconduct of Ms. Adigma. Again, this is a rare, hopefully rare, very rare circumstance where we have egregious misconduct by a state actor. And who is to bear the burden? Who is to bear the burden of this injustice? Is it the defendants? Are the defendants given no opportunity for vindication without a vehicle to explore exactly the extent of her wrongdoing in this case? It's possible that the federal government, the federal investigators, don't care about smaller quantities of methamphetamine, so they did not investigate further. But we don't have access to that information without open litigation to compel it. And I am out of time unless there are further questions.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ralph, good morning to you again.
Morning. Again. May it please the court. My name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. Primary issues on appeal are whether the district court properly overruled the motion to withdraw the plea and the motion for new trial. As set forth in my brief, and as I'll detail here shortly, we think the district court's rulings were correct. We therefore ask this court to affirm the judgment below. So I'll start with the motion to withdraw a plea. And being as this case involved a final judgment, the only way to withdraw the plea would be through the procedure outlined by this court, State v. Gonzalez. Two requirements: one, that the Post-Conviction Act is not and never was available, and two, that a constitutional right was at issue. The defendant failed, number one. It was his burden to plead and prove it, as this court has recognized, and I don't see how that could be, considering that he would have had a year from the discovery of this under the post-conviction period of limitations. And he could have brought it because he was still in custody. He had been sentenced 8 to 12 years. So he's in custody under sentence. He had a year to do it and he didn't. Therefore, the post-conviction.
Is there some agreement or not in our record about when the defendant would have known about Ms. Adigma's charges? Or
I don't know if there's an agreement necessarily, but in his affidavit, counsel's affidavit, I think it had like October 2021 was when they were notified. October and November 2021. He filed his motions in January of 2022. So even at the latest, he still would have had a year from January 2022 to file a motion for post-conviction relief, and he didn't. So I agree.
What is the definitive law, if any, about being pursuing a new trial and a post-conviction simultaneously?
My recollection, I have looked at this before, my recollection is that you can do both at the same time. I don't have a case offhand, but I believe that's the law here. So he could have pursued that as well as currently doing his motion of withdrawal plea if he thought better of it later. So that, I think, is a requirement he failed to meet, failed to plead and prove. This court has construed that requirement as a jurisdictional requirement, so I don't think we're just at liberty to bypass it or waive it for judicial economy. So I think that first assignment of error fails.
What would a motion for post-conviction relief that raises this issue look like? I mean, what's the allegation?
I'm not entirely sure. I know in the lower court, trial counsel had hypothesized that maybe it's just a generic due process type of issue. I don't know exactly what the constitutional right would be or how it'd be framed.
Don't we have to figure that out if we're going to say that that at some point this could have been raised as a motion for post-conviction relief?
Well, I don't think so, because in the alternative, if there was not a constitutional right at issue, then neither would the common law remedy of withdrawing a plea be available. The second element of that offense is that a constitutional right must be at issue. So if we're unsure of how to phrase it, or we can't phrase it in a post-conviction sense, then we can't do it in this sense either, the motion to withdraw a plea.
Then it fails at step two.
Right, right.
I understood part of the appellant's argument to be that they were looking for a vehicle to conduct some discovery to get those specifics that they need to present the claim. And in the civil context, we have avenues for discovery at kind of outside the context of an active case, but I'm not familiar with that same sort of opportunity in the criminal context. Help me understand what sort of an opportunity the appellant would have here to kind of dig in and figure out the facts so that they can decide which horse is the best one to ride in on.
Sure. Well, I mean, they wouldn't be entitled to discovery or statutory discovery. That's for an existing criminal proceeding. Here we're talking about a final judgment. So I don't know that there is discovery, well, there isn't discovery to obtain those facts. How they obtain them, general investigation, talking to the parties involved, the letters from the county attorney, they could have proceeded further with that to get exact specifics as to what Adijima was alleged to have stolen. But as far as a statutory or constitutional right to discovery, there isn't one when we're talking about a final judgment in the criminal context.
So the discovery, if any, would be informal and in the more like an investigation.
Sure. Yeah.
To gather the facts necessary to present a legal claim.
Yes.
Thank you.
So our position is that the motion to withdraw plea was not available. District court got that right. I think the district court also got it right with the motion for new trial, particularly on the ground that I don't think a motion for new trial is available here, because the statutory remedy presupposes an original trial is one reason. The second reason being that when you plead no contest or guilty, you have waived all defenses, which includes the right to a trial, as Your Honor pointed out. So there is inconsistent case law on that. This court recognized that in State versus Amaya recently in 2020, a footnote.
How do we resolve that?
Well, I think the resolution is the route taken in Klug, State v. Klug, and what I said in my brief, which is statute. It's a statutory remedy. Statute presupposes an original trial, an initial trial, based on the language. In particular, as Your Honor noted, new trial, the word new, but also, constantly referencing things as grounds, misconduct of the jury, of the witnesses. The verdict is not sustained by sufficient evidence.
What about the section that talks about the DNA statutes?
Well, I mean, you could still move for relief under the DNA Testing Act, as I read it.
But here, there's a section there about...
Sure. Based on newly discovered exculpatory DNA or similar forensic testing.
So does that fit into the argument about you have to have a trial before you can utilize this statute?
Well, I think so. I think so. And again, that's one ground. But the other ground would also be that he entered a plea of no contest, which explicitly waives his right to a trial. And whether that's an original trial or a new trial, it's still waived. So that would be our state's
with the waiver argument. What do we do about the cases that essentially say time starts to run when the plea is?
Well, I think you'd have to overrule those. You'd have to resolve the inconsistency on those between Klug and Daly and Betts, and I think the other one was Bean, in favor of the rationale for Klug. which would be that the language of the statute and the entry of the plea waive the right to move for a new trial. Unless this court has further questions, I'd submit on the third issue, ineffective assistance of counsel, and ask that you affirm the judgment.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No.
There is no time for rebuttal. Counsel, that concludes arguments in State versus Muratella. So you are excused. And the next case of the day then is Brower versus Hartman. Justice Miller Lerman is recused from this matter. And the court will be joined by District Court Judge Cox, who will be joining us in just a second. So counsel, please give everybody a moment to get in and out of the courtroom.